This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it's our weekly Q&A with Layla. We're answering your questions. Questions come to us at radioprogram@AOL.com. That's our mailbox for questions. And you gave us a preview of what we're going to start talking about this hour.
Yeah. Deborah writes, "Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I've followed you for 20-plus years. I'm a 60-year-old female. I had a diaphragm unilateral mastectomy. My oncologist recommended Arimidex, which I took for 4 months. It was intolerable."
Okay. Well, let's talk about why. Why would, you know, Arimidex be intolerable? Why would anyone prescribe it? It's a hormone blocker.
Mm-hmm.
It blocks, it's an
HER2
inhibitor. Well, there's a whole protocol for that.
Yeah.
That's a, you know, using a chemo agent. Did she get that?
She did not. It's just this.
Okay.
That particular. She took it for 4 months. It was intolerable. Now taking aromacin. Bone pain, muscle cramping, intolerable.
So both are intolerable.
Yeah.
Okay, so what
she's
they do,
looking to stop taking these aromatase inhibitors.
What they do is they block hormones completely.
Yeah. Her quality of life
if you think menopause is bad, you know, menopause is like, you know, putting the brakes on. Using these hormone blockers is like hitting a brick wall. And conversely, for men have equivalent ones that block testosterone for prostate cancer, and they experience terrible symptoms. The symptoms range from hot flashes to bone pain because, you know, the estrogen works on your bones. And people feel pretty miserable. So what are you going to do? You know, look, when people ask me, should I try it? I go, yeah, there's evidence that you get some benefit from them. Now, the benefit I usually will point out to people when I do this kind of consultation, I'll say, if you don't take it, there's 87% survival, which means you have a 13% chance of dying. If you do take it, it's a 91% chance of survival. So you're really upping your chance of survival, but is that such a big whoop? So, you know, what I try to tell people is like, try it. You might be okay with it.
Yeah.
You never know.
You may tolerate it.
And you get the benefit, maybe, and fine. But if you can't tolerate it, it is not such a, it's not like a life or death thing. Like, if you can't take it, you're going to die.
Yeah.
And if you do take it, you have 100% chance of surviving.
Right.
It's an advantage, not merely, I mean, I may be misquoting the statistics. I think that the statistic may be a little more robust, but it depends on the type of cancer you have, the stage of the cancer, and your age, and so on. So, you never know where you're going to fall. Are you going to be saved by it, or are you going to take it unnecessarily? With drugs like that, there's something called an NNT, a number needed to treat. So, usually a number needed to treat that's pretty good is something like 15, which means that one person gets saved and 14 people take it unnecessarily.
Right.
It makes no difference whatsoever.
Yeah. See if this means anything to you. She says, my Onco DX score, diagnosis score, was a 9.
Well, I don't know. You know, they're doing a lot of slicing and dicing with staging breast cancer, not just on how big it is or the cell type, but there's like ways of staging the aggressiveness of it.
Yeah.
And that's the way to go with a lot of cancers in the future.
The how aggressive
breast
is
cancer
it?
Is in the forefront of molecular diagnosis and staging and determining who needs aggressive treatment and who doesn't need aggressive treatment. You know, because some of these cancers, I mean, you just, you know, take them out, leave them alone, you know.
Deborah's in Englewood, New Jersey. She's looking for a functional medicine doctor to assist her in natural protocol. She's already doing a lot of right things, taking DIM.
IFM or ACAM.
Yes, you know, ACAM.org.
They both have directories of
ACAM.org. That's
American College of Nutrition.
Yes, American College of Nutrition, American College for Advancement in Medicine. These are resources for you, Deborah.
But, you know, I actually think that the benefits of that are probably about the same or a little less than the benefits of a really good diet and exercise. You know,
she eats a really good diet. She exercises, aerobic weight training, yoga. She takes DIM and many other supplements.
She's already getting some protection.
I
mean, these medications, some of these medications, you know, like statins and these kind of medications, they usually work better in people who don't do anything good.
Yeah.
You know, because if you're not doing anything good, you'll get a more robust response from a medication that's a blocker or a cholesterol lower.
Right. You know. So if you were a poor eater and not exercising and doing all of that, get more benefit from it. That's interesting. All right.
So at this point, let's allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share an important message with you. Here goes.
Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And that's important. So now back to our questions. What's next, Layla?
Oh, we have a question from Kay. Dr. Hoffman, what things would you recommend for my 40-year-old daughter with congestive heart failure of unknown cause? There is irreversible damage to the heart. It was undiagnosed for 6 years, even though she presented with all the symptoms. Wow! 40 years old with congestive heart failure.
Well, okay. Well, so you may say, your surprise at that is, people who are 40 don't generally have worn-out hearts. Mm-hmm. Most of the people who have congestive heart failure are people who have had heart attacks, or they're elderly, or they've had, you know, long-standing hypertension, which can cause the heart to enlarge and become weak. So why would a 40-year-old have congestive heart failure? And the main reason for that is a viral disease of some kind. Sometimes an autoimmune disorder, you know, but more like a virus that affects the heart. So of interest is that congestive heart failure of this kind was very common in Kashan province of China. They call it Kashan syndrome. And so they, it would, you know, the Chinese, you know, whatever their faults are, they're able to do a lot of public health studies because they just marshal the population, you know, and get them together. You know, they say, oh, you know, there are too many rats here. Everybody bring us two dead rats. And then they get rid of all the rats. Or like, we have too many flies here. Everybody get a fly swatter and kill 50 flies. And then they fix it, you know. It's like a top-down approach. So they said, we're going to try to fix this incidence of this disease. So they got all like 50,000 people together and they studied it. And they discovered that it could be prevented by giving people a little bit of selenium. Because the soil in Kashan province is extremely low in selenium, and everybody, mostly people eat local fruits and vegetables. You know, they have gardens and small fields. And it's a subsistence crop. And they virtually eradicated it by giving people selenium.
Wow.
So there's some evidence that that may be a protective measure against it. Now, once you have it, you know, your selenium's not going to do any good. So things that help. We know things that help the pumping action.
I mean, she's on medication.
High doses of coenzyme Q10, but really high, you know, like
really high.
800, 1,000, 1,200, or ubiquinol at 600 or 800.
I've heard Dr. Steven Sinatra say, the integrative cardiologist, say that congestive heart failure is the heart is lacking energy.
Right.
And
so we give D-ribose.
Yes.
Per his, I mean, I credit him with this innovation. He mentions four things: magnesium, coenzyme Q10, ribose, and carnitine.
And carnitine.
Yeah.
And carnitine.
And
yeah.
There may be some evidence that nicotinamide riboside is helpful. True Niagen may help support the heart. But I think the evidence for coenzyme Q10 is more persuasive.
Yeah. Yeah. So magnesium, D-ribose, coenzyme Q10, or ubiquinol, and carnitine, L-carnitine. Wow. Okay, best of luck with your daughter. Okay. We have an email from Lynn. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I recently had my fourth DEXA scan, and I'm happy to report within the six-year period of time, age 56 to now 62, my bone mineral density in my spine has increased by 3.4%. Yay! Total hip very slightly decreased, though increased from the last scan. However, the bone mineral density of my femoral neck continues to decrease.
Uh-huh.
Are DEXAs always accurate, or is it possible to have incorrect results?
Well,
she's doing all kinds of strength training, by the way.
So
she's doing beautiful things.
Results may vary for different parts of the body.
Hmm.
And it may be that there's some arthritis or some condition that makes that area less likely to respond.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what... This is the kind of thing where we want to do an analysis of what's going on with this person. She may be very low in hormones.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably she's taking vitamin D and vitamin K2 and other things, right? Mm-hmm. Did she state that?
Yeah, she's on a very good nutrition plan. Olympic weightlifting helped her spine and hip gain density, but I'm wondering, is there a difference in the bone type?
Yes, there's
trabecular
versus the other type.
Cortical.
Cortical, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that could be that.
And maybe the one bone type responds better. But I don't.
Right.
I have to say that generally when I use strontium, we see benefits at both sites.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true. And speaking of strontium.
Yes.
From Char, we have an email. I had no improvement with prescriptions, lots of side effects. My bone mineral density improved greatly with strontium citrate. It's the best kept secret, and it's not the standards of care. No side effects. Amazing that I had to find this out for myself, along with many others.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was in kind of a hangout position when I started to endorse strontium, because it actually not only does, it's a recommendation for supplement, but it also sometimes encourages people not to take standard medication. But I think I've been vindicated on both counts, because strontium really does work. It doesn't appear to have harmful side effects.
Yeah.
The bottom line is not just bone density improves, but also people don't get fractures. But in addition, over the years that I've recommended strontium, there's a lot has emerged about the downsides of medication. You know.
Yes, those freaky fractures.
Yeah.
You know, when you're strap hanging on the 7 train and the train jerks and suddenly you fractured your femur.
Hate when that happens.
Golly.
You don't make it to the Mets game.
You didn't fall down. You didn't crash. You didn't do anything.
You're on your way to work. You're on your way to Citi Field
and that's it.
That's even
off
to the
hospital.
That's even worse than a Mets game.
Oh,
season.
I heard the Yankees didn't do too well the last two games.
Just the two games.
They'll come back. So Lynn, think about strontium, and Char, thank you for your note about strontium, and keep up the great work. Good.
We'd love to get feedback. So, if it works, it doesn't work, let us know.
Supplements for strontium, besides...
For osteoporosis.
For osteoporosis, thank you. Ostera, we like. We like, which is hops.
Right.
We like magnesium, certainly vitamin D.
MK7. MK7.
But
MK7. About 320 milligrams. There's 160 micrograms. Micrograms.
MK, yeah.
Micrograms.
Yes, vitamin K. About 320 micrograms a day is appropriate. Get your DHEA sulfate levels tested. That's the proper DHEA test.
Don't take
test.
It on your own. Take it under some supervision.
Yes,
it's one of those
get
things where
tested.
I'd like a health professional to weigh in on the suitability of it for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Great work, ladies. All right. We have an email from Jeff.
And then, of course, there's olive leaf.
Olive leaf extract is good.
I just discovered another thing, is that ashwagandha, you know, which is great for stress, great for cognitive preservation.
Yeah.
It's an adaptogen. Actually, some evidence that it helps bone.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, if it's going to help regulate cortisol levels, it's going to help bone.
Maybe that's
because high cortisol will thin our bones, thin our skin,
make
us forget.
This was animal research. They looked at over-rectumized mice, and they found that the ashwagandha extract...
Over-rectumized rice? Mice?
Mice. Over-rectumized. No, is that hysterectomy?
Oophorectomy. Okay.
Right. It's right.
Okay. Okay. I got it. I heard something
the
different.
The operation is an oophorectomy.
Yeah.
But
oophorectomized. It sounded like overrectomized mice. And I'm like, did they install extra rectums into the mice?
That's what I thought you thought. But
that's what I thought I heard.
Thank you for clarifying it for our listeners. Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
The operation is an oophorectomy. But if you ovariectomy is the probably correct pronunciation of getting your ovaries taken out.
Okay. All right. We haven't...
At least experimentally.
Right.
I think the operation in for humans, it's oophorectomy.
Oophorectomy.
Yeah. But when you do experimentally animals, it's called ovariectomy.
Oh. That's interesting.
Maybe
they don't just go and remove the ovaries?
They do.
Yeah, they do. But oophorectomy... Why would they give it two different names? That's interesting. Okay. Moving on. We have an email from Jeff about PPIs, proton pump inhibitors. I'm a 60-year-old male. I'm in pretty good shape. Here's my question. I was diagnosed by endoscopy with Barrett's esophagus.
Oh, boy.
I rarely, if ever, get heartburn because I have good dietary...
It could be silent reflux.
Right. The GI doc, he put me on omeprazole. Then my primary care raised the Losartan I was taking to 100 milligrams in an overreaction to a blood pressure at a visit, to my blood pressure at a visit. Well, I guess the combo of omeprazole and Losartan or something caused terrible edema.
Oh, boy.
So I quit the omeprazole, reduced the Losartan back to 50, got serious about salt restriction, and the edema is gone. So, and my average blood pressure is around 135 over 70. I'm muscular, I'm 6'1", I'm 68 years old.
So first of all, you know, we would look for like a natural approach for the heartburn.
Right.
And, you know, probably all roads lead to Rome. Maybe this guy's a little overweight. He could lose some weight. There'll be less heartburn. There'll be less...
He's 6'1 and 160. He's He's pretty lean.
Okay. He's my weight.
So here's his dilemma. The docs say, I need the PPI, but the PPIs don't allow absorption of magnesium and other minerals.
You know, when you have Barrett's esophagus, it's a kind of a risky hangout position to tell people not to take a PPI because the standard of care is to take a PPI. And the consequence of not taking it might be a heightened risk of esophageal cancer. So we kind of don't want to take that risk.
Yeah.
It's an unfortunate thing. We actually have some patients who have had Barrett's. Mm-hmm. They've stayed on the PPI for a couple of years. They've taken the supplements that I recommend and they follow the diet. They get subsequent checkups. Endoscopies. And they can't find anything. And at which point we feel okay about taking them off their PPI.
Yeah.
It can regress. It's a very unfortunate thing because it results in a lifetime prescription of a medication that is potentially dangerous. It's not inconsequential. It's a real marketing boost for the drug makers because it's one thing if you have a little discomfort, heartburn, you can say, well, I'll take some, you know, DGL.
Eating that chili dog.
Yeah. But if they say you could get cancer if you stop taking that drug, that's a real selling point for the drug. So I will point out the headline of today. Actually, yesterday. Heartburn drug that millions take for years linked to higher risk of an early death, study finds. Washington University St. Louis study found that the most common causes of death among those on the drugs were heart disease, kidney disease, and gastric cancer. Well, okay, that correlation isn't causation. You know, it could be that the gastric cancer is because they already had GI problems and they were taking them. You know, I'm not... was it causal? I'm not sure. But it's concerning, and there are mechanisms that explain why you can have a higher risk of kidney disease. Because when you block proton pumps, they're not just in your stomach. There are they're ubiquitous. They're at throughout the body.
Uh-huh.
And so there may be consequences that are what are called off-target effects of the drug in other parts of the body. So they say for every 1,000 people, an extra 45 taking proton pump inhibitors die prematurely. So
oh my.
That's a lot.
That's significant. Yeah.
More PPIs are prescribed worldwide than are any other class of drug.
Wow. They're even prescribing it for babies
and,
who have reflux.
And yeah. In addition, many of the 214,467 older veterans involved in this study didn't even have any documented medical need for PPIs.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're using it willy-nilly.
Yeah.
But they're a relatively powerful
and they're only meant to be taken for a period of several weeks, tops.
Yeah, yeah.
Tops, and that's the problem with
but
that.
But, I think if you have Barrett's, go work with an integrative physician who can put you on a diet, and there's healing nutrients. I mean, I really like DIM, for example, for that.
DIM.
Which is a potent extract of, the cruciferous vegetables.
N-acetylglucosamine.
Yeah, those are, healing nutrients. There's some evidence that glutamine. Folate may also prevent that.
Right.
So green tea, big time.
Green tea,
big time preventive. Yeah. Drink green tea, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to make a difference.
Jeff is concerned about the absorption of magnesium and other minerals.
Yeah,
take those supplements.
There's a black box warning on
take those
PPI,
supplements.
In the PDR and package inserts for PPIs, mm-hmm. which says that you might suffer magnesium deficiency. Well, magnesium deficiency is associated with cardiac arrhythmias, hence maybe a higher risk of heart disease,
You could take Epsom salt baths. You can soak your feet nightly in Epsom salt. You'll get it that way, too. There are different things to do.
That's interesting, but I'm waiting for, and maybe you can show me some of these, if there are any studies that really show that there's a higher blood level or tissue level after you've taken those baths. I mean, I take those baths when I'm sore and I feel good.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think maybe they're doing something, but I really want to see evidence that it gets absorbed through the skin because the skin is a little, it's an absorptive surface.
Our skin absorbs hormone patches, pain patches.
It does.
It absorbs a lot. The toxins in our moisturizers, it absorbs everything.
It's theoretically, I just want to see more studies on these things. No, because there are products that are topical magnesiums, and I think they might be good locally. I wonder if they are helpful for absorbing more magnesium.
Well, here's a little case study. My husband, who's building our house and climbing up and down ladders and scaffolding all day long, which are bigger leaps and jumps and all this other stuff, I got him some magnesium spray. He's taking some oral magnesium.
Right.
But we've also got the magnesium for sore muscles. He's finding that it's helping, that he's waking up to less cramps during the night, which has been a big deal lately.
Do you give him any CBD, topical CBD?
No. That's the next thing he's interested in.
Yeah.
So some topical CBD will be next.
Yeah.
Okay. So that would be good for the aches and pains, but especially the cramping that's right in the hamstring. He forgets to stretch. I remind him that also helps, but the magnesium spray has made a difference.
That's got to be really backbreaking work.
Yeah.
For those of us who go to the gym to work out, it's nothing compared to
climbing up and down a scaffold
labor.
All day long.
Right.
Yeah.
and lifting lumber
and stuff.
And cinder block and whatever the heck goes into that.
Right, right.
You know,
2x4s and 16s and all that stuff.
Well,
okay.
When are we going to do the live broadcast from your house?
Oh, from...
We have to do
5 months?
Oh,
fingers crossed.
Okay. I thought we were
2022. I know. It feels like that. It might be 2022. I doubt it. We'll see.
Okay. Well, maybe in fall we'll do a transmission from the new abode.
Right.
Okay. Great. Thanks. That's all the time we have. Great questions. Keep them coming. Radio program at AOL.com. I hope we've furthered the cause of your health. That's what this program's all about. Thank you, Layla, for joining us today. Support
thank
our
you.
Sponsors. Check out FullScript at drhoffmanstore.com.
Uh-huh.
And make sure you subscribe to our podcasts. Keep listening. Thanks. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.